I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I know what you folks, how you folks are. You want to walk and to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. The only way we're going to know that is by being skilled in the words of righteousness. The scripture says we're to continue in the things that we've learned and to know that the scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for instruction, correction, reproof, and so on. This evening, I want us to have a little correction. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Now, do you notice what the concern of the Lord was there? That some would break through to gaze. Another word for gaze would be to gawk. An unkind word for gaze would be to gawk. In other words, that the things of God should become a spectacle. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And so Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. Now the situation is this. I'm going to read you three passages from the Old Testament. This is one of them. The situation is this, that when the people of God came into the presence of God, where God was, There was a holy awe about this relationship and about the presence of God, and there was a deep respect for God's presence and for the place where God was. I perceive that as we have come to know our Heavenly Father in a personal way and have experienced the liberty of His Spirit, I thank God we don't live under this old covenant. Strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. In other words, they brought their own idea of what they thought he ought to have. And it was not according to what he had commanded. And there went out, watch this now, I think we do not know very much about this side of our Heavenly Father. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I would be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. In other words, the two dead bodies. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, these the other two boys, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And so here was the command God said, Aaron, you and your sons are not to mourn the death of the other two brothers. But your brothers, their uncles, will take care of them. It's as if Jesus had said it, let the dead bury their dead. You've got more important things to do. And so you can see that this is serious business. God took a dim view of those that did not honor his place or honor his presence. And the third scripture I want to share with you comes from 1 Chronicles, chapter number 13. We do not have the right to just do any old thing we please with regard to the place where God dwells with his presence as far as the house of the Lord. And we must, it just seems to me tonight that we need to be reminded of a couple of things. And while we were worshiping, these things just began to roll up in my spirit. And so this is the word of the Lord for us. I don't know if I can express it quite right, but I'd like to say it this way, the best way I know how, is that as we were worshiping, the Lord opens his heart and shows it to me. And I'm simply expressing that to you. Chapter 13 and verse 1 in 1 Chronicles. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now, do you notice that David did not inquire before God? He asked all the people, what do y'all think about this? You think this would be the right thing to do? You think we ought to go down and get the ark of God and bring it up to the city? And everybody said, yeah, that's a great idea. Now, that's where David made his first mistake. He should have checked it out with God. Verse 4, and all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now, I want you to know that just because something's right in the eyes of all the people does not make it right in the sight of God. If all the people are not in concert with God, then it doesn't make it right. Because God's a majority all by himself where it comes to his business. And so David gathered all Israel together from, this was not one of David's finest hours, from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hemath to bring the ark of God from Kijath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Kijath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God. Now, you'll remember from your Old Testament history that the ark of God represented the presence of God. God dwelt over the ark on the mercy seat. And it was David's intention to bring the ark of God into the city of God, into the presence where the people dwelt, so that they'd have God right there with them. A high and noble intent. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahiho drave the cart. And that's Old Testament for drove. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and cymbals, and with trumpets. Now, notice what they did. The word played there means to laugh and to make merry. They had one grand time as they were bringing the ark up. And they had singing and dancing and laughing, and they had instruments of all types, trumpets and cymbals and timbrels and all that sort of thing, all of the instruments that they had access to. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Now, the picture is that the ark has been mounted on an ox cart, and the yoke of oxen is pulling them, and the oxen stumble, and the cart lurched, and Uzzah put up his hand and grabbed a hold of the cart to steady it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand on the ark, and there he died before the Lord. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah, the breach of Uzzah, to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote psalm after psalm, wonderful love song to the Lord. But here in the presence of God that day, he was terrified. And he said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now something had gone wrong here. David had had a great idea. He checked it out with all of his friends, and they thought it was a great idea. And they went down to get the ark of God to bring it up to Jerusalem, where they were living. But something happened there that displeased God very much, and a man lost his life because of it. Now, what happened? If you look over in the 15th chapter, we'll see what happened. And David made him, I'm reading from the first verse, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now what had happened? Apparently David had discovered from the books of Moses and from the instructions that God had given to Moses and then on down through the priesthood, David discovered that the thing that they had done wrong that day was that the ark had not been carried according to the plan that God said it was to be carried. And that it was, you don't put the ark of God on an ox cart and draw it with oxen. The ark of God was made with four rings in it, one at each corner, and special staves were constructed, and the staves were to be run through the rings, and the Levites were to carry the ark and nobody else. And they were to pick the ark up by the staves and carry it along. And it was not to be carried by ox cart, and it was never to be touched by human hands. The reason we see today is because human hands, until the time of Jesus, were blood-stained and sin-stained. And so David had done his own thing his own way, and it caused him anguish, and it caused a man his life. So David apparently had discovered where he'd made his mistake, somewhere down the line. We don't know how much time has elapsed here. It appears in the margin of my Bible, it looks like 3 years have elapsed. But this is an estimate by the scholars. And so David gathered, verse 3, all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief, and his brethren 120, and so on down through the 10th. And the 11th verses, he gathered all of the Levites. Verse 12, and he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, some would read that story and say, well, the reason that all of those problems existed is because they played before God with all their might. They laughed and danced and made merry, and they had all those musical instruments going and made all that loud racket and that loud noise, and that was not the problem. For you remember the remainder of the story, how David gathered all the Levites together and correctly, according to the due order which God had established, had the ark of God brought to Jerusalem, David and the princes of Israel before the ark, dancing before God and praising the Lord. You remember the story? And how when he got home, his wife mocked him and made fun of him because he had danced before the people. And apparently his clothing that day was a little skimpy. And the Lord was so displeased with what she had done that she was childless all her life, because she had come against David. So it wasn't the worship, it wasn't the praise, it was not the liberty, it was not the freedom. It was that they had not operated according to the due order. And so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And over in the verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. It came to pass when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bare the ark and the singers, and Chenaniah the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that we really don't have as keen a respect for the place of God, I think, and the service of worship of God as we could have. And I noticed it this evening very, very, very much so. This is the kind of thing that troubles the heart of God. When this has place been like Grand Central Station tonight. We've had people going and coming during the service. When we're praising, when we're worship, we've got young people who are making their social arrangements, and we've got kids at the back door and sending in word and bring so-and-so out because I want to talk to this person, and someone comes in and sits down with her girlfriend and then takes the other one out, and they're both out 5 or 6 minutes, and then they're back in again, and they're down. First they're up, then they're down, then they're gone, and then we have a young man who comes in the back, walks into the house of God with his hat on and wants to give a message to somebody in the congregation, pokes his head in the door, and I can tell you that when I saw the young man walk in, this is a precious young man. But when he walks in the house of God, you say, Pastor, there's something wrong with you. Yes, there is. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. That's what's wrong with me. But when this young man walks in with his hat on, ushers, I want you, usher, if you see somebody walk in here with his hat on, I want you to politely ask him to remove his hat. If he doesn't, I want you to knock it off his head. I mean it. I know some folks think I'm radical and they think I'm old-fashioned, but I wouldn't walk in anybody's house with a hat on, let alone the house of God. I can't tell you how many hats I've removed like this off people's heads as they walked into God's house with a hat on. It just is, it's not respectful. It's just not respectful. And parents, if you don't teach your children how to operate in the house of God, then somebody else is going to have to do it, and it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing to your children, and it's going to be embarrassing to you. How many know that it's disrespectful to wear a hat inside a building for a man? Okay, well then I won't have to go to 1 Corinthians 11 to show you that. How many are sure that their sons know that? When I was watching all of these other things going on, and it's as if, I wish those things didn't bother me. But they just do. They just get all over me. And it's either I'm an old fuddy-duddy, or this is very displeasing to God. Those of you who have young children, you need to potty your children before you bring them in. Now even, I realize that you can't always, that doesn't always work. And you bring your child in, and they sit here for 5 minutes, and then they got to go to the bathroom, and you know you've just had them there. You got to know your own child, and children need to be taught how to sit. I don't know of any kids, unless there's a medical problem, that can't sit an hour or even two without pottying. They sit in front of the television for 4 and not have to go to the bathroom. So, I know that you don't want to have to get up and take them out because you don't want to leave. But yet it's something that children have to learn, and they have to be instructed in this, and they have to be taught, and sometimes they have to be forced. Sometimes they need a hand on their knee that says, hold it. Have you ever been in a car, and there was no place to go, And you drove and drove and drove, and there's no place to go. And you, what do? You hold it. It can be held. Pastor, do you really have to talk about this? Well, no and yes. I mean, yes, if I want to be obedient. And I think it's wonderful for us to have the children in the service. I want the children in the service. You moms and dads, I want you to bring your babies into the service. I see how obedient our children are. I see how obedient our kids are. And I see how they adjust to the service, how they learn. And I watch folks who come into our services who are not normally part of our fellowship, and I watch how their children can't sit 5 minutes and sit still. And then I see our little babies, and I see our 1 and 2 and 3-year-olds, and I see how they sit for a couple of hours and listen and behave and so on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a baby that cries and you take the baby out. I realize that those things happen. But we are not as careful as we need to be, as I want you to be, about the house of God. We are not as sensitive to what's going on here. And we don't realize that, do you know, it's this critical. Do you know that a man standing in this pulpit can stand there with the power of God all over him, anointed with the word of God and the power of God and ready to minister, and this kind of thing can just shut it off just like that? I mean, whoop, just like that. Just cut it right off. Just shut the whole service down. Just kill it. Just kill it all. The New Testament says we are not to grieve the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit is grieved. I want you young people in our services. I want you here. I want you worshiping God, and I want you listening to the Word of God, but I don't want this to be Grand Central Station for you, or the time when you make all of your week social activities in the middle of the service. Arrange your rides and arrange your all of the what you're going to do afterwards and all that stuff. If you want to do that, then meet somewhere else. Meet at the pizza place, or meet at Arby's, or meet in the Kmart parking lot. It's just not proper. And I don't want our young children, I don't want this little girl and this young lad and this young lad and this young girl, I don't want them to see that kind of example. I don't want to see our teens, I want them to see our teens not serious about the things of God. I want to see them looking at this one right here, who comes in and sits on the front row and worships God and just loves the Lord and sucks in his word and gives the Lord respect and honor. I single her out because she happens to be here in front of me. Yeah, you understand? Do you understand what I mean? Let me say another word while I'm on this, and we'll just see if we can get all these things taken care of, and we won't have to deal with them again. I do realize that things come up, and that while the service starts at 7 o'clock, that sometimes things come up, and you can't get here until 7:15 or 7:30. I do realize also that things come up, and you can't stay through the end of it. And I understand that. I've never had a problem with that, and do not today. But I do have a problem with folks who continually and consistently and every service walk in the middle of it. It's disruptive to those who are already here. And frankly, beloved, it's rude. It's rude. It says, I don't care enough to order my activities so that I'm there on time. It doesn't matter enough to me. And that kind of habit, and that's what it is, a habit. And it needs to be changed. It needs to be broken. Now, I don't have anything else on my mind tonight. That's pretty much it. But could I just ask you to not forget that God is God Almighty, and that He's deserving of our respect and of our honor. We have very much liberty here. I don't ever want to go back to the kind of service where a person is afraid to open his mouth, or where a person is afraid to move, or where a person is afraid to clap his hands or raise his hands, where our children are embarrassed to run the aisles in the presence of God and just to worship Him. I don't want that. That's death. But nor do I want disrespect for the Lord, for it just destroys. It just destroys any anointing that there may be in the service. Okay? All right.